ESA, or the Education Savings Account. That's going to be an account that's created by the state of Texas, and the money is going to be placed in that account. Now, the application for that, for those funds is, we believe, is going to be open in January. So we're still waiting from some more direction from the state of Texas or, the comptroller of Texas to let, for us to be able to tell our families, this is the exact steps or the process you need to follow. But once that's open, our families are going to be able to both, once they've applied to it, they'll be able to use those funds towards tuition. They'll also be able to use those funds towards other approved vendors. And there's a list that the state will provide us as to who those approved vendors are. But to give you an idea of what the state of Texas is thinking when they say that, they are thinking of school supplies. They're just thinking of uniforms. They're thinking of lunches. So for our families who rely on school lunches, that is also going to be an option. They're even thinking of transportation as an option. So families who rely on, buses to send their children to school, this is also going to be funds that can be used towards those things as long as they're on the list of approved vendors.
Interesting. Okay. And is there a certain qualification metric? Like, do you have to be a certain kind of positioning to receive the benefit? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is the exciting part. And this is the part where I want all of our listeners to remember what I'm about to say, because I hear this a lot. I hear a lot of families, and I talk to them almost on a daily basis because of the role I now have. A lot of our families will tell me, Oscar, I don't think I'm going to qualify. Oscar, I don't think this is going to work for me or my family. I want all of our listeners to know that everyone should apply. I'm going to say that one more time. We should all apply towards the ESA. And this is why. The bill, as it is written, and I encourage our families who love to go to primary sources, they can look it up online, they can find the bill, they can read it for themselves. There are only three qualifications for our families. I'm going to say that one more time. Three qualifications. The first one is the child must be a U.S. citizen, a legal resident, or a U.S. national. So that's qualification number one. The child must be school-aged. So, you know, a 25-year-old can't be applying to go to kindergarten, okay? So anywhere pre-K through 12th grade, that would qualify a child. And the third qualification is you can't be enrolled in a public school. So what does that mean? It means while you're planning on using the funds, you must be using them towards a private school of your choice. So that's it. That almost essentially means that a lot of our families qualify. So once again, I'm just going to say it just to make sure our families are listening. We should all be applying.
Those are really important points, and I'm glad that we captured that, because that really opens things up to people who can apply. And it goes against that stigma that you mentioned of like, am I going to qualify? Because it sounds pretty open. Mm-hmm. So when and how, right? When should we start applying, and how do we go about doing it?
Great. So, I'm very excited about what I do, because the Diocese of Fort Worth is very unique in this respect. They see, and our bishop sees the importance of this, sees what it means for our families. And so he has created this whole position at the Catholic Schools office dedicated to this purpose. And it is an initiative that we called Camino. And Camino is really just a word that means pathway or way towards a ultimate goal. Our goal at Camino is to make sure that our families have the resources and the information they need to take advantage of this opportunity. So I'm glad you're asking me these questions, because this is exactly what I do. Families call me every day and they're like, okay, when is this going to happen? What do I need to do to be ready?
Yeah.
The timeline looks, I'm going to give you a quick summary of the timeline. So the bill passed in May. After that, the Texas Comptroller sent out the request for proposal in August. And all that means is companies who want to be administrators of the application and the funds need to submit a proposal to the state of Texas for approval. That happened in August. The Texas Comptroller is now going to publish that list of administrators. Here in October is when we think it's going to happen. Those dates can change, but just to give you an idea, once we know who the administrators are, or they're called CEAOs, once we know who they are, then they're going to make the application available to our families. We believe, again, these dates can change, but we're pretty confident that's going to happen somewhere between January and February.
January and February of 2026. Gotcha. Okay.
Once our families apply, then all they have to do is wait to see if they've been awarded the ESA. They can then use that money for school starting in the fall of this coming year. So in August of 2026.
That's amazing. So what's the website they go to apply?
Okay, that still hasn't been published yet.
That's what we're waiting for. That's one of those things. Okay, got it. Mark your calendars.
That's right. However, the Diocese of Fort Worth, through the leadership of our superintendent, Frank Perez, and the leadership of our bishop, has created for our families a Camino page where families, and I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to go to this page, go to it and sign up. Sign up to receive alerts from us, newsletter from us, because as soon as the application opens, we'll be sending out an alert to our families, letting them know it's open. Go now. You got a 30-day window, is my understanding. That could change as well, but you got a 30-day window to fill out the application. And if you have any questions or if you need any guidance, we're here. We're here at Camino. We're here at the Catholic Schools office to help you. And we do that in both Spanish and English. And a lot of our resources will also be in Vietnamese, so that's going to be available on the website. Now, I don't speak Vietnamese, but I do speak Spanish, so I'll be able to help our families in both English and Spanish.
That's awesome. And just so I'm clear on it, are these funds, are they grants? Are they loans? Like, do people have to pay it back? Tell us about that.
So people will not have to pay these this money back. So it'll be money that will be put in an account that then they could decide how to use. And that was what makes it so special and different than vouchers, right? So vouchers are generally tend to be very limited to just tuition. Mm-hmm. This gives our parents a little bit of flexibility. Yes, they can go to a private school. They can go to a micro school. They can go to one of these university model schools where you go to the campus 3 days a week and the other days you're home. Mm-hmm. So, and it also applies to homeschool families. So our homeschool families who'd like to use the money, although it's different, it's not the full $10,000 to $12,000. Mm-hmm. It's only $2,000 for homeschool families. So that just allows for more flexibility.
Very, very cool. So any idea how much, and I don't know if you know this or if you can speak about it, but how much total funds are going into this pool?
Yeah, so the state of Texas has allocated $1 billion towards
That's another important metric for us to talk about, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. Wow. So $1 billion. So the way the state of Texas does this is biannually. So the legislature will meet, and then they will budget for every 2 years. So they did this for this coming year. So we estimate that this is going to affect close to between 70 and 80,000 families.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we shift gears and talk about Catholic schools, is there anything else we haven't spoken about that our listeners need to know about this program?
Just once again, I want to make sure that I am encouraging all of our families and our listeners. This is an incredible opportunity. The bishops of the state of Texas have put a lot of effort behind this to make sure. So here's a common misconception that I think will be useful to address. A lot of our families that reach out to me has said, how is this going to affect our Catholic schools? Is it going to change our mission? Is it going to change our curriculum? Does it mean we now have to teach things that the state requires? Our bishops have worked really hard to ensure that the religious liberty protections that protect our schools are in place and they're strong. So I want to let everyone know now that as you're thinking about this, the bill itself makes sure that our schools will continue to be authentically Catholic, teach authentically Catholic principles, our catechism, our faith, our creed, all of that will still remain the same.
Love it, love it, love it. What an exciting time for
Absolutely,
sure.
Yes.
Great. So let's talk about Catholic schools. And the whole thing about this is increasing access for us to be able to participate in Catholic schools. So for families hearing about Catholic schools for the first time, how are they different from public schools and other educational available options?
Beautiful. That's a great question. So one of the main differences that I like to point out to our families, excuse me. So one of the main differences I like to point out to our families is that a Catholic school environment is going to be a significant source of how our children are being formed. So let me take a different approach here. So I get calls from families, as I was pointing out earlier, almost every day. And I've heard a lot of our Catholic brothers and sisters will sometimes tell me, well, Oscar, I like the idea of a Catholic school. However, really all I care about is academics, right? I'm sending my child to a school because academics is really all that matters. Everything else is just secondary. This is what I tell parents. As a principal for 10 years, what I tell our parents is there is no such thing as a school that only teaches academics. Okay, I want our listeners to understand this, so I'm going to say it one more time. There is no such thing, and there's never been a school that can only teach academics. And it's because of the way that we've been designed to learn as humans. So as soon as a child steps out the door of their house, there's not an off switch that says, I'm going to stop learning, right? I'm only going to learn from my parents, and then now I'm not learning. There's no off switch. Children will pick up from everything. So if you send them to a martial arts class in the evening, well, they're learning from their sensei. They're learning from their classmates. If they go to lacrosse on the weekend, they're learning from their coach. They're learning from the other players on the team. Children are constantly absorbing their surrounding, and because of their age, there is not a there's not a very critical firewall, if you will, that helps them discriminate between this is good information, this is bad information. They're just being shaped all the time. So the question in the end becomes, what is shaping them the most? Mm-hmm. And what do you think it is, Julian? I mean, give me a guess here.
I think their character is what you need to be thinking about, right? So it's going to be the people they're around, the students, the teachers, the faculties, the examples, because children are constantly downloading. So it's the entire environment. It's not just what's being taught, it's how it's being taught, right?
Absolutely. So where they spend the most time, mm-hmm. the environment that they're in, that is what's going to have the most significant impact on the kind of humans they will be when they grow up. Mm-hmm. So what do Catholic schools do different in that case? Well, the environment is created intentionally to make sure that our children are being shaped to see the world the way that the church sees the world, mm-hmm. shaped to see the world through the lens of the Gospels, the way that Jesus sees the world. And this is important because, again, as a principal, I see this happening all the time. When you don't have that, right, in the school, so there's this absence of that environment that helps our children see the world in through truth, through the lens of truth, something else is taking the place of that. So I'll give you a quick example. In Catholic schools, we teach our children that they are made in the image of God. Mm. Now that's incredible. That already in itself is part of the environment. So our children know that their dignity, their value, the way they perceive themselves comes from being children of the King. Now, in an environment where that's not the case, what's taking its place? Here's what I've seen in, you know, the 10 years that I've been doing this. It's what I wear. It's the people I hang out with. It's, am I part of the popular group? And I hate to be so crude, but am I part of the rich kid group? Am I part of these cliques that give me meaning? That is shaping their value. So I hear a lot of families today, and I bet you've probably seen this as well, Julian. We're asking ourselves, why are our children so narcissistic today? Or so self-absorbed, or why are they so superficial? They put their value in things that are so superficial. Well, there isn't a book in any school, whether Catholic or public, that teaches them to be narcissistic. Mm-hmm. Right? There isn't a teacher in a public school or a secular school saying you have to be, right, narcissistic or superficial. They're picking it up from their environment. They're learning it from the culture that is created in the absence of the Catholic truth that our children are children of God. So that's what I try to tell our families all the time.
I wish that could be communicated to the world in more of a broad kind of way.
Yes.
Because it's true, when you teach academics, you sort of teach, yes, the mechanics of doing things and getting around the world, but something that seems to be so obviously missing is inherent value. Where does it come from? And it mm-hmm. seems like that's the perspective in which you teach as a baseline.
Correct.
And that shapes the entire educational experience.
Absolutely.
It almost removes the need for clicks, the need mm-hmm. for looking at things that are sort of objects that become idols, especially to a child who's impressionable and all they care about is fitting in.
That's right.
Love it.
That's right. And I don't want to give our parents the misperception that our children encounter temptations, because similar to other schools, this happens everywhere. But in a Catholic school, they're surrounded by adults and also peers that share the same values and will help our children, mentor our children, understand, once they've kind of veered away from that principle that they're made in the image of God, that they are important, that they matter. And we're all going to, right, encounter those challenges. So it's very helpful to have someone say and help you come back on track and say, hey, listen, Oscar, you mean something. You mean something to the God of the universe. You are important. He loves you enough to send his son to die on the cross for your sins so that one day you can be in his presence. So those are things that
got goosebumps of emotional hearing this, right? Yeah,
that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Those are things that our children will listen to in Catholic schools all the time. And this is just one small atom of a full cosmos, right? Of an entire environment that our children will be in a Catholic school. And as you pointed out, Julian, from this baseline, the goals, the mission, the things we're trying to accomplish academically, the things we're trying to accomplish spiritually and emotionally, it'll all flourish from that.
I love it. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
I kind of warned you about this, right? So let's get as much as we can in right now. So give our parents some steps on what they should be looking for when deciding between different Catholic schools.
Perfect. This is, again, this is a great question. I think we're probably going to have to meet again to really delve deep into it.
For sure.
I have a lot that I can speak in this area. But again, the first and easiest thing our parents can do is go to the website of our schools. The Diocese of Fort Worth has 17 beautiful, amazing Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. They've all been open for more than 10 years. Some of them have been open since 1958. So we have longevity, we have tradition, experience, we have amazing principals and teachers. The first thing they could do is go to the website of a school, look at their mission statement, see what stands out to them. And if they still have questions, they can always reach out to us at the Catholic Schools office. They can call me. They can ask for a 30-minute appointment. I am here, and this is what I've been called to do, to help our families have access to our Catholic schools. That's what I live for.
Love it. Close us out with a final call to action. Anything else that you want to share about Catholic schools, about the Texas Choice Bill? Close us out.
Thank you, Julian. Yes, I want to ask our families to help me spread the word. You will not believe how few families know about this opportunity. We need to. If there's anyone listening right now and they feel moved or called to do this, it's a very simple thing to just reach out to a friend, a family member. If you're on social media, really help us push this out and promote it through all of the channels. There is this opportunity, and we have an initiative from the Diocese of Fort Worth called Camino that's going to help our families take advantage of this opportunity.
I love it. Oscar, you are a wealth of information. I'm so glad that we had this conversation. And everyone else, follow all the links that Oscar mentioned. This is truly an unprecedented time, an exciting time to help shape the minds and the characters and the salvation of our young for the future.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Thank you, Oscar, for being on.
Julian, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dear listeners, that is all for now. And we'll see you next time on the Guadalupe Radio Network's Interview of the Week. God bless.
Do you know a fourth grade boy ready for a strong Catholic education? Cistercian Preparatory School's open house is Thursday, October 23rd. Cistercian offers rigorous courses and Catholic formation to boys in 5th to 12th grade and meets 100% of demonstrated financial need. With 20 Cistercian monks teaching at the prep school, it's no wonder why Niche.com ranks Cistercian the number one Catholic high school in the state. Don't miss Cistercian's open house on Thursday, October 23rd. For more information or to schedule a tour, visit school.cistercian.org.
St. Joseph Catholic Church in Richardson invites all to their annual Fall Festival on October 26th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The GRN's Dave Palmer will be present that morning for a live broadcast. Festival highlights include delicious food prepared by the parish's various cultural ministries, live entertainment, fun activities for the kids, including face painting, a zip line, and inflatables. It's fun for the whole family. For more information about the St. Joseph Fall Festival, visit josephcatholic.org.
Hi there, and welcome to the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, broadcasting all across this beautiful metroplex, like 8 million potential listeners. And I love the opportunity to have people in studio like I have today to tell you about awesome organizations that are helping, in this case, save lives and improve lives and just do great things. And there is a lot going on with the White Rose Women's Center. Also, St. Joseph's Helpers will explain that relationship. The St. Paul Men's Club, a golf tournament that's supporting White Rose. And they also have a big benefit coming up in the first week of November, actually November 8th, Saturday, November 8th. So lots to talk about. And in studio, I have Julie Eichelman, who is the director of the White Rose Women's Center. And to her right and my left is Pat Caton. He's a volunteer with the White Rose and also is on the board of the St. Paul Men's Club of St. Paul in Richardson. We were there recently, and we are thankful for Father Sikowski and all the good people over there. So we're going to talk about the relationship between these two groups and all the good stuff that's happening with White Rose Women's Center. So, Julie, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me again. It's always good to see you.
You've been doing this for 7 years now as a director, and I will mention that Julie's a parishioner with her husband and four young, are they all boys? Or
Two girls.
Okay, I remember the, okay, so over at, in St. Martin of Tours in Forney. So let's just start off with a very basic question for those who are not familiar with the White Rose Women's Center. What is it, and what exactly do y'all do? What is your mission?
So St. Joseph's Helpers and the White Rose Women's Center was founded in 1985 by Father Joseph Nielsen, a kind and holy priest who sought to provide an alternative for women seeking abortion. We are the oldest Catholic lay apostolate in the Diocese of Dallas, and our service area spans all of North Texas. Our mission has remained the same for 40 years. We are dedicated to saving lives. We actively seek out the abortion-minded client and educate her about the reality of abortion so that she will choose life for her baby. When a woman in crisis comes to us, we handle all of her needs. We provide comprehensive care and support for women throughout pregnancy and into motherhood. We provide counseling, free pregnancy tests, sonograms, and material and financial assistance. We provide women with whatever they need to ease their burden. If the promise of rent or gas money saves the life of an unborn baby, then that's a promise we will make. We are an independent Catholic lay organization, and we rely entirely on the generosity of private donors, parishes, and the St. Paul Golf Tournament to fulfill our mission. We operate with one full-time director, five part-time staff members, and over 50 dedicated volunteers. Although abortion was made illegal in the state of Texas back in 2022, a lot of women still don't know the laws in Texas and still come seeking help. But then there's other women, Dave, that know that it's illegal, and they don't care. They still just want to get the abortion pills quickly. Last year, we registered 2,726 client visits, and 37% of our new clients were at increased risk for abortion. We gave out $134,000 worth of direct client financial and material assistance, and that's just for 1 year. So clearly our work is still cut out for us here, even 40 years later.
And 40 is such an important number, you know, biblically, and, you know, that we all know about 40 days for life and 40. So, what an awesome anniversary year this is. And I know, as I mentioned before, you've got the big event coming up, early in November as well. Let me bring in Pat Caton into the conversation. Pat and I went to grade school together. I've known him for many years and, is very involved over there at the St. Paul's Men's Center. Pat, what is, how did this relationship all get started where St. Paul's said, we want to help White Rose? Tell us about that.
Well, St. Paul's has been, obviously around since the 50s, so even longer than the White Rose. So not that it's competition, Dave.
No.
around 2000, there were some members of the men's club who were also Knights of Columbus, and they wanted to help out the White Rose, so they decided to host a small golf tournament so the proceeds would be able to go to the White Rose. So it's just grown exponentially over time. So we've given over $500,000 since the beginning of the tournament to the White Rose. So last year was a unique situation because not only were we able to give a lot of cash and donations, but we're also turn some of it into a new sonogram machine with the help of the Knights of Columbus matching grant. So they've got a new sonogram machine, and this year we plan on hoping to raise at least as much as we did last year.
Okay. And the golf tournament is going to be on the 17th, Friday the 17th.
October 17th.
Yeah, October 17th, which is coming up right around the corner. As of the time that we're recording this, is there still an opportunity for people to sign up? Is it a scramble? What kind of a tournament is it, and how can people be involved?
It is a scramble, although the best way someone can support it would be just through donations. So if you go to the website, which would be stpaulmc.org, and you can click on either the donate button or on the White Rose information, the button on there, then you'll be able to donate and support that way.
All right. And Julie, obviously, this is a big source of income for White Rose. You also have a website, stjosephshelpers.org, stjosephshelpers.org, and people can donate there if they want to, either, you know, for the golf tournament. I guess the golf tournament one is separately. That's the stpaulmc.org, where you can donate and benefit the golf tournament. And then stjosephshelpers.org is more related directly to White Rose. So you want to talk about this special relationship with St. Paul. This is a big help to what you guys do, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. So, as Pat said, you know, they've been supporting us for 25 years. And as a nonprofit organization, we rely on the generosity of donors, parishes, and just amazing people like the St. Paul Men's Club to be supporting us through everything. So, you know, for 25 years?
Yeah, 25.
25. So yeah, so they started doing this when White Rose was only 15 years old. Mm. So now you can understand how it's become such a crucial part of our, you know, ability to pay the bills every single month. And so it really does help me when I'm dealing with an abortion-minded client who's saying, I can't pay my rent, when I know that in the back of my mind, I have the St. Paul Men's Club supporting us. And then that gives me the confidence to be able to say, I can help you with your rent so you can continue choosing life for your baby.
And obviously, St. Paul is one of many, many parishes in the Dallas Diocese. And it would be great if somebody was listening right now at another parish and they're like, hey, we want to be, you know, do what St. Paul's is doing. I mean, there's room for other parishes. I'm sure other parishes are helping, and certainly individuals at other parishes. But this is something that I'm sure you would love other parishes to say, gosh, that St. Paul could be a model for us to do something like that, and have Pat Caton come over to them and let them know how they can do that. I just volunteered you for that, Pat, by the way. So anyways, let's talk about something else. And I think many of our listeners are familiar with the signs that we have seen. I've seen these for decades, and it says 972 baby do. And people may wonder, you know, oh, that's a great phone number, and it's probably taken to somebody who can help you if you're in an undesired pregnancy. But this is very much related to White Rose, isn't it? What is that connection?
So over 30 years ago, the 972 Baby Do hotline was brought to Dallas by a volunteer. And at the time, John Everett was the director, and he said he's happily to take on all of the calls that come through that line because, you know, thinking about it, at that time, White Rose was the only Catholic crisis pregnancy center in the entire area. And so when a woman calls there needing help, it only makes sense for it to be directed to White Rose because we can handle all of her needs. So it's just a simple sign and message that states, pregnant, need help, call 972-BABY-DO. And that's answered at all times by a White Rose volunteer in English and Spanish. So as you mentioned, Dave, a lot of parishes in the diocese have that sign, and it really does serve as the best resource for pastors and parish staff to know that that's where they can send a woman who approaches them who's pregnant and needing help. You'd be surprised how many times a woman calls that number in the last few years saying she wants an abortion, knowing that she's calling that number outside of a Catholic church. But the important thing is, it's good news that she's calling us for that help so that we can provide the help. Okay. So, in fact, last year we registered 65 new clients just from that phone number. Mm. So that's why it's such a perfect system, because we've been doing it at White Rose for over 30 years and it's always answered, and we're always able to take care of everything the woman needs.
Can you take us through the process that, let's just say somebody calls, they call that number, somebody answers, and the person says, I'm pregnant, you know, my boyfriend's going to leave me, or I can't afford it, I don't have a job, I'm seeking an abortion. What happens next? What's the process? And I guess in a best case scenario, what happens after that phone call?
Well, we talked to her about inviting her to come in and register as a client, but then also meet with one of our counselors, one of the volunteers, to, you know, assess the whole situation. So it's an intake, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're asking very specific questions to kind of get a read on the whole situation and figure out what's her, you know, situation she's dealing with. Okay. And so then after that, once we figure out where she's at, you know, we might be doing a pregnancy test. We'll probably be doing a sonogram, see how far along she is. Has she had prenatal care? But really just kind of divide and conquer, if you will, to figure out what does she really need. And so through that whole process, you're identifying the gap of support she's missing, whether it's material assistance or spiritual assistance or emotional support or financial. But you know, the beauty, Dave, is that White Rose can handle all of those things. Okay. Yeah. So, it's interesting because when you were asking that question, it made me think about, made me remember that a client called in 2020, right after the COVID shutdown, when we were all still doing the distancing. Okay. And we were being very particular at White Rose about the time to protect our clients, you know, safety and everything. But this young lady called. I happened to answer the baby due phone number, and she said her boyfriend told her, do not come home until you had the abortion. Mm. And she was driving around North Texas. She saw the phone number and she said to me on the phone, I don't know what I'm going to do, because he said, I can't come home until I have the abortion, and I'm not sure if I want to do it or not.
Yeah.
So I said, I need you to come right now. Come right now to White Rose. And she did. And so then she met with our counselor. We did a pregnancy test. We did a sonogram. We filled in all of the gap that she needed. And in her case, it was emotional support and also material support and financial as well.
Yeah.
And so then she was able to go on to have her baby to term.
Yeah. Wow. It really highlights in that story that you just said is that, you know, the life of that baby is on the line, and there's always so many other variables going on. In this case,
correct.
A pretty, you know, a bad boyfriend who's forcing her to threatening to leave if she doesn't have, yep, an abortion. I mean, that's crazy. And so, we're talking about White Rose Women's Center. My guest is Julie Eichelman. She is the director, and she has been for 7 years now. And Pat Caton is a volunteer for White Rose, and he's also very involved with the St. Paul Men's Club. Are you like the president of the men's club? You're always the guy that I think of when I think of St. Paul's Men's Club.
I just like to think I run the place. So I'm just a vice president, so my job is just to make the president look good.
Okay. You're doing a good job with that. Let's talk about, I know you probably have 1,000 stories. You just told, mm-hmm, us one. Any other anecdotes or stories come to mind that one that you just mentioned from 2020, but anything else of that just kind of highlight the good work that's being done at the White Rose and St. Joseph Helpers?
Yeah, I have one that was brought to my attention just recently. Okay. So a couple of years ago, this woman came to us seeking an abortion. Now, she had already had a stillbirth at full term. And she had also experienced 3 late-term miscarriages, and she had also delivered a live baby who passed away 3 months later. So she had no living children, but through no fault of her own, okay? But still, her grief and pain from all of that was overriding her logic and reason and casting a shadow on her about not going through with this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She couldn't see that the pain she had already endured would be so much more by choosing to have an abortion. Okay. I ended up on the phone with her real late one evening, trying to convince her to keep her baby after she saw the sonogram, after we'd done everything. And trying to convince her to keep her baby and let God determine if the baby lives or dies. I offered everything to her, Dave. I said to her, what if this is the one that makes it? I kept asking her to take a leap of faith and trust that God would get her through all this, all the while praying in the back of my mind, please, God, let this baby live. Mm-hmm. You can't let me down now, okay?
Yeah.
And sadly, we lost contact with her after that. But then about a year ago, she called me. And through tears, she apologized for how things went before and that she had been wanting to apologize to me for over a year. I asked her what ended up happening, and she said she kept her baby, and now she has a 1-year-old running around the house getting into everything. She said through tears that she only kept her baby because she kept hearing my voice play over and over in her head every day for the rest of her pregnancy. What if this is the one that makes it?
Mm.
Take a leap of faith and trust in God.
Yeah. Oh, praise God. There's a baby alive because of the work. You know, you've given 2 stories now of you personally being on the phone with people. And it's amazing to me because you're the director. You've got to run this whole ship, you know. You also mentioned there's 5 part-time employees and probably a lot of volunteers. And so it leads me to believe, to ask, do you need volunteers? Do you hire anybody? Or what are the needs from a personnel standpoint?
Absolutely. So I'm always looking for more dedicated volunteers, volunteers to be counselors, but don't let the word counselor freak you out because you don't need a history in social work. We train you to the position. It's really just a calling to be the person sitting across the table fighting for the life of the baby. Okay. And really trying to show God's love and mercy to those women. But I am always looking for an additional sonographer. It would be a part-time paid position. But of course, you know, you would need the technical skill set as a sonographer in order to be doing that. But that's a very special position to be holding as well.
All right. And I'm sure they can contact you through the stjosephshelpers.org website. You also gave me your card. Is it okay if I give out your email address?
Yes.
And our phone number, it is jeichelman@sjhwr.org. Eichelman is Eichelman. Maybe the phone number is easier. 214-824-5942. I want to get into the benefit dinner that's coming up in November, but the Magdalene program. Do you want to explain any more about that, or what is the Magdalene program?
So the Magdalene program was founded in the mid-90s when John Everett was the director, and he recognized that it wasn't enough to convince a woman not to abort. It wasn't enough to give her diapers and clothes and send her on her way. Yes, these things are very important, but it wasn't enough to change the trajectory of a woman's life, okay? So the White Rose wanted to provide women with a pathway to making their lives better so they could be the women that God created them to be. That's when the Magdalene program started. So it's easy to think about that with abortion-minded clients, a free sonogram gets them in the door. Counseling and the promise of assistance helps them choose life. But Magdalene program helps them thrive. So we named the program after Mary Magdalene because we hope to show women the same love and mercy that our Lord showed her. We want to show women a new way of living. Our Magdalene program was active in the 90s, but then lost funding. We resumed it in 2012, and today it's more robust than ever. Magdalene program is truly the forefront of support for pregnant women. It provides education and support for abortion-minded women and women in crisis pregnancies. Abortion is illegal in Texas, but women still find themselves in crisis pregnancies, and a lot of women are still seeking abortion. Two part-time staff organize four meetings a month, English and Spanish. At the meetings, guest speakers and staffs talk about spirituality, labor and delivery, breastfeeding, postpartum support, healthy relationships, budgeting, job skills, catechism, and Bible studies. We offer free babysitting and lunch at every meeting. We host a baby shower for every client. And we host parties for all of the mothers and their children at Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, and on the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Priests volunteer to say Mass for the moms in the Magdalene program. And now we have a volunteer teaching ESL for our Spanish-speaking clients. And we've partnered with a nonprofit to come in and teach a basic computer skills class, which has led a direct path towards these women seeking getting a career job at the end of that. So it is really helping them see that they are meant to be, you know, thriving as the mothers that God intended them to be, and that they can be the best for their children and show the best example for their children.
Yeah, very holistic approach. I mean, the whole woman, every single aspect of her, it's amazing that what is being done. So thank you for that explanation. Julie Eichelman is my guest, along with Pat Caden. Julie is the director of the White Rose Women's Center. Their website, stjosephshelpers.org. And of course, we're also talking about St. Paul's Men's Club, because they, in their golf tournament, which is coming up on Friday, the 17th of October, big benefit for the White Rose. And if you want to learn more about the that golf tournament, go to stpaulmc.org, stpaulmc.org. And let's talk about, in just the few little bit of time we have remaining, the White Rose Benefit Dinner, Saturday, November 8th, and it's going to be at the Weston Park Central on Merritt Drive in Dallas, with guest speakers, the Sisters of Life. So tell us about this.
I'm very excited, Dave. I'm so excited that we got the Sisters of Life to come speak for us. And so we are throwing together half celebration, commemoration that we've made it for 40 years, because on one hand, how terrible and pervasive that we've had to be around for 40 years, changing hearts and minds for abortion. But on the flip side, how blessed we are that we've been able to keep our doors open for 40 years. And so as I said, it's the oldest Catholic lay apostle in the entire Diocese of Dallas. And so 40 years, you know, as you said, is a very strong biblical number as well. So the annual benefit dinner is the primary fundraiser that we do every single year in order to raise the money so that we can continue helping the clients like the ones I mentioned before. Okay. So I'm trying to get to where we have 40 tables for 40 years. And so it'd be amazing if, you know, every given parish wanted to sponsor a table, or the Knights of Columbus councils wanted to sponsor a table. Yeah. And bring more people. You learn more about White Rose, how to help, and everyone comes away from the event feeling really excited and moved about it. But definitely having the Sisters of Life, I think, is going to be an amazing evening.
They're out of New York, right?
Yes.
Are you flying them in? How many are going to be there? And I'm picturing, because normally a speaker is one person.
Right.
Are you going to have like several of them up there talking with different mics? Or how's that going to work out?
Well, we're still working out the logistics, okay. But they are sending us three sisters.
Okay.
So I'm very excited, because I will take all of them. I'll take any and all of the Sisters of Life that want to come.
It'll be a variety show, Dave.
it'll be pretty cool. I can picture that, them up on the stage,
yep.
Of course, in their habits, and they've done so much great work. Well, that's very exciting. And so, again, this is going to be on Saturday, November 8th, the Sisters of Life at the White Rose Women's Center Benefit Dinner, 6:30 p.m., cocktail. Silent auction, 7:30 p.m. dinner. Again, it's going to be at the Westin Dallas Park Central at 12720 Merritt Drive in Dallas. That's right over there by like Central and 635 LBJ. So, Julie, we got about a minute remaining. I just want to give you a minute to throw in anything else, recap anything. What's the most important thing people should take away from this?
I think the most important thing is that we're extremely grateful for all the support that St. Paul's Men's Club has given us over the years. And please, if there's any listeners that wants to help and feel called to support, you know, October is Respect Life Month, and this will be airing in October. So a lot of times people might be thinking, well, let me do something to support. And so certainly supporting by way of your money, opening your wallets and help the men's club raise more money. 100% of that goes straight to White Rose. And I have built a strong reputation as far as stretching every dollar as far as I can stretch it. And so anything that they can do to help with that, or come to the benefit dinner, donate for the benefit dinner, all of those things would be very, very helpful.
All right, Julie, thank you so much. Director of the White Rose Women's Center, Pat, we got 5 seconds. Can you say anything of encouragement for 5 seconds?
Hearts and hands, Dave.
You didn't even need all 5 seconds, did you? Well, Pat, thanks so much. I know Julie appreciates you so much. And Pat's also a great volunteer for the GRN as well. So we are so grateful for him. And just the website, stpaulmc.org for the golf tournament and stjosephshelpers.org for the White Rose Women's Center. And so thank you to both of you. Thanks to Cecil for writing the board. And thank you for listening. This has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And if you have suggestions for future interviews, you can always email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thinking about becoming a priest? Men who are high school age or older in the Diocese of Dallas are invited to a St. Andrew's dinner to learn more about the priesthood. Join Bishop Burns, priests, and seminarians from the diocese for an evening of prayer and discernment. The St. Andrew's dinner will take place on Tuesday evening, October 28th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at All Saints Catholic Church in Dallas. For more information or to register, visit dallasvocations.org. Click on events.
Attention, Medicare beneficiaries. Annual enrollment is here. Now is the chance to review your Medicare plan and make sure you're getting the coverage and benefits you need for 2026. My name is Michelle Vina, a sponsor of this station and owner of Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics with their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. For more information about Morningstar 65 and the services available, you can visit morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
Well, hi, everybody, and thanks so much to tuning in to the Guadalupe Radio Network on this Saturday afternoon. And this is Dave Palmer and Cecil Anderson in studio. And when you think about it, what is better than 2 interviews of the week back-to-back on a Saturday afternoon during the 3 o'clock hour? And the only thing I could think of better than that, Cecil, would be a 3rd interview of
dun,
the
dun,
week.
Dun, dun.
And we've never done this before, but today, because we are exactly 2 weeks before the first ever Fishers of Men event for Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas, we're going to play a bonus interview of the week. And that's the interview that I did last week with Dr. David Anders. Of course, you know who he is, but he's coming to town in 2 weeks. And you're going to be there, Cecil. I'm going to be there. Yep. This is going to be a great event.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. Something that we've not done in this area is a nice sit-down dinner for one of our events. So it's kind of fun and exciting, you know?
Yeah, it'll be a little dressier. And of course, we have a wonderful committee that's been put together. Tickets are selling quickly, and Bishop Olson is going to be honored. And, we're going to have Father Wallace there, Father Flynn from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish, probably some other priests as well. And with the only thing that's